questions. "Can you hear me in there?" bellowed Vic at the top of her lungs. Felt like all she'd done since the People's Army arrived in Adua was shout. Her throat was raw from it. In the new Union, you got nothing done talking quietly. A faint voice echoed from beyond the monstrous studded doors in the towering spike-topped wall of that fortress of a bank.
"I can hear you!
I'm Inquisitor..."
She ground her teeth.
"I'm Chief Inspector Teufel. I have a warrant signed by Commissioner Pike to search any and all branches of the banking house of Vallant and Bulk."
She held the document high, though how the hell anyone was supposed to tell whether it was genuine or not, she'd no idea. Everything had to be printed now, but they'd smashed all the good presses the day the Agrient fell, so the warrant was all smudged, the seal was a blob, and the signature a blur.
"It'd be a lot easier to have this conversation if you opened the door."
And her voice died away entirely on the last word.
"I don't have the authority to open the door, Inspector."
A curious crowd was gathering in front of the bank. These days, crowds built up at the slightest provocation. Rizenau insisted they be allowed to. They had to promote the national conversation, he said. They had to politicize the masses, he said. Rizenau said a lot, but as far as Vic could tell, none of it ever meant anything. The masses were far too politicized for her taste already.
"Who does have the authority?"
she barked, a question people were often asking in the new Union. She had to strain to hear the reply.
"The manager." "So where's he?"
A pause.
"Not here."
Vic was out of patience. She'd a lot less patience than she used to, one way or another.
"Get the cannon,"
she snapped. There was an excited murmur from the onlookers as the practicals gathered around the wagon. They were calling them constables now, but you could still see the tan lines on their faces where their masks used to sit. Vic planted her hands on her hips and tapped one finger impatiently as she watched them strain at the spokes of its wheels, spit flying from their clenched teeth as it ground ever so slowly over the cobbles. When she wasn't shouting, she was tapping her finger impatiently. Tallow watched the whole business while blowing into his cupped hands with his usual air of hangdog resignation.
"So, we're not the Inquisition anymore."
She was damn glad he was alive, but she didn't let a trace of it show, only growled back as impatiently as ever.
"Commissioner Pike felt the name gave the wrong signals."
6 centuries of torture, exile and hangings, you mean?
"I dare say. But someone still needs to keep folk in line."
One of the constables slipped and fell, the wagon rocking back alarmingly.
"Even if the lines turned blurry as hell. Who better than the folk who used to do it, I guess? You can't say we don't have the relevant experience. So, the same people doing the same job, but called something else? You may have hit closer to the essence of the great change than Chairman Rizenau has in 100 hours of speeches. Welcome to the new Union and its People's Inspectorate. Headquarters at the House of Truth. It's the big building in the Agrient with the little windows, in case you were wondering.
They're not asking questions there anymore."
"Oh, they're asking questions.
Just nicely?
I doubt it. But truth is more important than it used to be?
Time will tell."
Though Vic had her doubts about that, too.
"I hear the People's Army let out all the prisoners. Some of whom I worked hard to put in there. Most of whom weren't even breakers. Thieves, smugglers, more than one murderer, and an idiot who liked to set fires. Not to mention the young lion and his co-conspirators. You're all free, brothers."
"Did they let your sister out?"
"They did."
"Good."
She regretted saying it right away,
new union or old, letting a feeling show was like pointing out a chink in your armour, an invitation to stick the knife in. She frowned sideways at Tallow. With his sister released, he'd no real reason to work with her, still less to be loyal to her. "You're still here, though, I notice. I'm standing with the winners." He gave her a weak grin. "And where else would I go?" "Fair point. What with all the folk who'd flooded into Adua with the people's armies, and the mills and manufactories that were shut up or broken down, and the shambles on the roads, canals, and docks, work was hard to come by, and prices were higher than ever. And who knew where anyone's loyalties sat these days? Old friends were set at odds, and old enemies made allies. In the new union, everything was ripped up and spun around, and who was to say it wouldn't be ripped up fresh tomorrow? "You got a uniform, at least," said Tallow. Vic frowned down at herself. Bloody thing was too tight under the armpits, and the boots pinched. "Seems black never goes out of fashion. Looks good on you. Very fearsome. I guess this has all been worthwhile, then." It was hard to point out much else the great change had achieved so far. No doubt some folk had gained and some folk lost, but that better world she'd let herself hope was coming felt as far away as ever. The constables had finally heaved the wagon into position, more of the cannon pointing at the bank's doors. She leaned towards their leader, a big-shouldered bastard, so acne-scarred he'd probably looked less frightening when they still wore masks. "This bloody thing loaded?"
"I've got shot," he said, "but there's no powder to be had."
All shot and no powder summed it right up. She'd just have to blow the door down with lies, like usual. "Get the match cord lit, at least. Make it look like we think the damn thing works." She cleared her sore throat and turned back to the bank.
"Can you hear me in there?"
"I can hear you."
"Can you see me?"
A pause. A tiny slot slid open in one of the doors.
"I can see you,"
came considerably louder from the opening. Vic ground her teeth again. They were going to be down to the gums by the time this door was open.
"Then why didn't you open the bloody slot before?"
No answer.
"You see, we've got a cannon pointed at you."
No answer.
"I'll take that as a yes."
There was a puff of sparks as one of the constables finally got the match cord to splutter into life, and some of their growing audience took nervous steps away.
"I'm going to count down from 10. If this door isn't open when I get to nothing, I'm going to open it the hard way."
No answer, but she thought she saw a pair of eyes behind the slot blink.
"Anything within 20 strides of that door'll get opened the hard way too."
"What do you mean?"
"You," said Vic, "you'll be open. You'll all be wide fucking open."
"Perhaps we could—"
10.
There was a clattering of keys, a rattling of bolts, one half of the double doors opened, and a balding head stuck around it into the chill autumn air.
"We surrender,"
it said. Vic looked over at the lead constable, something she would rather have done as little as possible.
"Well then?"
"Oh, right."
And he pulled out his stick and stomped forwards, beckoning the others after him. "Why is the commissioner so interested in banks anyway?" muttered Tallow. "Why not, I don't know, the armories or the barracks or the granaries?"
"Dare say we'll get to those.
But why banks first?" When Archlector Glockter was in charge, Vic had found it helped not to waste too much thought on the whys. She guessed the same applied to Commissioner Pike. Probably it applied double, so she just shrugged.
"Better raid in bankers than breakers, I guess," said Tallow.
"Is it?
On the right side of history, maybe?"
Vic snorted.
"The thing about history is you don't know what the right side is till long afterwards, and by then it hardly matters.
That's the sort of thing you hear from folk who know they're on the wrong side.
Vic conceded the point with a weary grunt.
I dare say.
Safe!
Bellowed the constable from inside, and with care Vic stepped through the open front doors of the Adua headquarters of the banking house of Valentin Bulk. The knot of employees inside hardly looked like a threat to the new union. They looked like a set of very scared clerks with a cannon pointing at them. Vic picked out the best dressed, a balding man trying to hide behind the others.
You're in charge? She asked.
Well,
he glanced about nervously, but no one fell over themselves to take responsibility.
I suppose I am the longest serving member of staff on site. I am Ario Materno, senior overclerk for loans.
Styrian?
Is that,
he swallowed,
a problem?
Not for me.
Vic was keenly aware that most of the considerable harm done to her in her life had been by her own countrymen, but foreigners were not popular with the mobs. A few days before, a dozen Gurkish immigrants had been burned as spies in the three farms. Being too dark or too fair or too rich or too poor or too mad or too sane was a bad idea in the new union. Freedom did not seem to have made anyone any less angry. But then the price of bread kept going up and Chairman Rizenau's oratory wasn't edible.
The vault's this way?
Vic started walking. Materno managed to keep pace with her while hurrying along sideways, rubbing his hands.
Inquisitor.
Inspector, corrected Tallow.
Sorry, yes. So many changes to keep track of. Are you really sure you want to do this?
It's not a question of what I want to do.
Vic wasn't sure it had ever in her life been a question of that.
Commissioner Pike has ordered every branch of Valentin Bulk shut down at once.
The man looked baffled, as though Commissioner Pike had ordered water to flow upwards.
But it's Valent and Bulk. You can't do that.
You didn't see the cannon?
He tried to explain it again.
The banking house is owed money everywhere. Everywhere. So many, many friends here in the Union and abroad. It would be very unwise. It would be utter madness.
Have you been outside lately? Wisdom is not at a premium. Madness is the fashion. The balance sheets are all torn up, and the friends that were assets have become liabilities.
Vic kept walking.
Threats for tomorrow don't cut very deep when today is so damn threatening. You might want to keep them to yourself.
It felt cold in the banking hall. Colder than outside, almost. Vic had to resist the urge to put her feet down softly on account of the volley of echoes produced by every step. The place was high as a Gurkish temple, carved from dark marble and dark wood, gilt glittering in shafts of dusty light from the high windows. There were little islands of expensive chairs where supplicants would wait to receive the bank's blessing or to hear their schemes ripped to tatters. But no business was being done today. The only merchants in attendance were marble busts of history's richest men frowning greedily at them from the past.
Now that is a door, said Tallow.
It was the door to end all doors, taking up most of the far wall and towering over the room, an expanse of black iron with the weighty names Valent and Bulk etched in gold in the centre. Down near the bottom was a brass wheel, like the wheel of a ship, a tiny-looking lock to either side. Tallow gazed up at it, open-mouthed.
I'm guessing that's the vault?
It'd be a fancy door for the kitchen.
Vic waved some of the constables out into the room, and they began to drag drawers from desks, root through papers, throw things around in that slightly disinterested way they had.
Shouldn't it be hidden? Asked Tallow. Underground or something?
The whole point is that no one who comes in can miss it.
They all have to imagine how much money sits behind the door as big as that. How much power. She nodded Materno towards the brass wheel. Open it. The senior overclerk for loans spoke in a very small voice.
I don't have the authority, Inspector.
Vic planted her hands on her hips again. Don't make me wheel that bloody cannon in here.
It's a 2-foot thickness of Angland steel. You'll barely scratch it with a cannon.
Vic looked him right in the eye. It's you I was going to point it at. Materno swallowed and slipped a key from his pocket and offered it out. A very long, thin, delicate key for such an immensity of door, wards so complex they looked like a tiny maze.
I only have one. You need the other.
Don't tell me. The manager has it. Ever so slowly, Materno spread his palms.
I think...
Arrest him, said Vic. And the others. Seal this place up.
But, Inspector...
Two constables caught the disbelieving senior overclerk for loans under the armpits and started manhandling him away.
It's Valiant and Bulk.
You can explain it to Commissioner Pike, Vic called after him. Get them all to the House of Questions.
House of Truth, corrected Tallow.
Whatever. She winced as she rubbed at her stiff hip. Damn thing always started niggling as the weather turned colder. Lots of empty cells up there these days.
Aye, Tallow gave a faraway sigh. I suppose it's high time we filled them up again.